some tables are not, if you're sitting by yourself on a table, please sit with families. Sit. Don't be alone. Please, can you move to this table, please? Thank you. Join this table. Glory be to God. We've come from the back of a family weekend we had last weekend, and an offshoot of that was, I think, a burning desire for us to not let the fire go down, but to keep the fire burning and to pray. And tonight, I sense we will be praying, and praying especially for our men, our women, our children, our brothers, our sisters. Basically, we will be praying for our families. I'm praying especially along the lines of divine protection, divine guidance. God will shield us from every onslaught and attack of the enemy, individually and as families. Brethren, it is important that we do not keep quiet. It is important that we pray. Personally, for me, I had a very long weekend that just passed. And I just realized physically my body, the way I was feeling, I've not felt like that in a long time. And I know when the enemy also wants to attack. This is not to put us under any form of fear at all. It is just as a watchman to warn when you sense danger is coming, and especially when the devil really wants us to start thinking the word of God does not come to pass. Let me assure us tonight, it doesn't take God, whether by a multitude or by a few, to save. Please, do you mind moving to the center here? Just move to the center. Just stay close so that we can preserve a little bit of physical heat and also spiritual fire. So don't just stay where the fire can spread quickly to you. So I sense we need to pray. A serious and urgent need to pray. And also, you know, some brethren came and said we should pray. So what I will encourage us to do tonight is, even as this study is going tonight, if scriptures on divine protection come to you, if you know anywhere in the Bible where some verses on divine protection, spiritual warfare, promises of God especially concerning divine protection, and promises of God concerning divine provision, if any scripture drops to you, please write them down. We are going to use all these promises tonight to pray. So, but first of all, let's go into the study tonight where we stopped. And I will tell you that God Almighty has never failed us as a local church and as a fellowship. God has not failed us. It is God's responsibility to make provision for us, but it is our responsibility to seek for where the point of supply of the provision is. God makes the provision, but we have to make the attempt to seek for where the provision is and receive God's provision. Very, very important. As we will see from this passage of Scripture, And one thing I've noticed is that as we're studying the Bible systematically, line by line, is as if everywhere we get to, God is just addressing us where we are in situations and circumstances currently that we are passing through. So don't just see this as a Bible study where we open verses and we stop in one verse and go to the next verse. We're not trying to write a book. We're not trying to do a school of theology. We are simply following the Spirit of God and hearing what God is saying to us individually. We are listening, like the book of Revelation says, that he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. So I pray tonight we will all hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches, especially to us as a church, as a local assembly, from these verses. Acts 23, verse 11. The Bible says, "But the following night, the Lord stood by him," him there is Paul, "and said, Be of good cheer, Paul, for as you have testified of for me in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness at Rome. Verse 12, and when it was day, some of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under an oath, saying that they will neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. Now, there were more than 40 who had formed this conspiracy. They came to the chief priests and elders and said, We have bound ourselves under a great oath that we will eat nothing until we have killed Paul. Now you, therefore, together with the council, suggest to the commander that he be brought down to you tomorrow, as though you are going to make further inquiries concerning him, but we are ready to kill him before he comes near. So when Paul's sister's son heard of their ambush, he went and entered the barracks and told Paul. Then Paul called one of the centurions to him and said, Take this young man to the commander, for he has something to tell him. So he took him and brought him to the commander and said, Paul, the prisoner called me to him and asked me to bring this young man to you. He has something to say to you. Then the commander took him by the hand, went aside, and asked privately, What is it that you have to tell me? And he said, The Jews have agreed to ask that you bring Paul down to the council tomorrow, as though they were going to inquire more fully about him. But do not yield to them, for more than 40 of them lie in wait for him, men who have bound themselves by an oath that they will neither eat nor drink till they have killed him. And now they are ready, waiting for the promise from you. So the commander let the young men depart and commanded him, Tell no one that you have revealed these things to me. And he called for two centurions, saying, Prepare 200 soldiers, 70 horsemen, and 200 spearmen to go to Caesarea at the third hour of the night, and provide mounts to set Paul on, and bring him safely to Felix, the governor. He wrote a letter in the following manner, Claudius Lysias, to the most excellent governor Felix. Greetings! This man was seized by the Jews and was about to be killed by them. Coming with troops, I rescued him, having learned that he was a Roman. And when I wanted to know the reason they accused him, I brought him before the council. Now, if we remember the context of the scenario happening here, remember initially Paul's travails started by him being captured And after they captured him, they were actually going to, you know, begin to beat him. But Paul simply told them the law. He asked that, is it lawful for them to beat a man, a Roman, who has not committed any offense, basically? I mean, who has not been condemned? That you can't just beat me. He quoted the law. The law delivered him. Then, okay, they've realized they couldn't beat him, so they took him to the council. The council, the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin were like the, you know, kind of the Supreme Court kind of judges. And why they brought him to those judges was so that, to the council, was so that the council could give them the approval to simply give the go-ahead so that they can actually beat him. And of course, their aim was not just to beat him. As you can actually see, their deepest desire and agenda here was actually to kill him. So, they brought Paul to the council, and as, you know, the whole council was sitting, as you can see, clearly from what we can see, Paul tried to make his case, and the high priest said they should slap him. And Paul actually replied the high priest, if we remember, and said, why should the high priest sit there and judge him and be telling somebody to beat him? Which was contrary to what the law says. So Paul was insisting on his legal rights because he knew the law. And of course, at that point in time, we remember that somebody had to rebuke him, that the person you are replying so rudely is the high priest. And Paul also quoted back the law that, oh yeah, that's what, he's sorry. He's not meant to speak like that to a ruler of the people. There are so many things we have drawn out of this. But what one key thing we found out last week was that Paul, he knew that those who were going to judge him, one part were Sadducees, another part were Pharisees, and he just simply capitalized on that. It's important that we know the enemy that we are up against, the enemies we are dealing with. Let us not go into battles uninformed, especially when it comes to issues that have got to do with the law, legal issues. It is always good to be informed. Always, always good. We should know what the Word of God says, very important, but it's also important that we know what the law, what our legal rights are, because the law actually is meant to protect us. People don't know the Bible we know, but everybody is subject to the law. So if you know the law and you know how you can make the law work for your favor. So Paul saw something here that a smart lawyer that Paul himself was, because Paul was a Pharisee and he also was lettered. He was a lawyer, so to speak, himself. What lawyers refer to as loopholes, legal loopholes. Part was Pharisee, part was Sadducee. So let me capitalize on that. I'm being judged by what the Pharisees believe, which is resurrection of the dead. And of course, we know he was, in a subtle way, referring to Jesus, that he was being persecuted and prosecuted for testifying about. So we saw a division. And as a result of the division between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they couldn't beat him again. So they decided, as you can see the progression, to actually now do something brutal. These people at this point now did not care again about the law. We couldn't beat him outside the council. We've brought him to the council. We can't beat him. No problem. 40 people, Jews, they bound themselves together. And that is dangerous when people are ruthless and heartless and are ready to do anything. People can be very, very wicked. The Bible tells us about the heart of man. The heart of man is desperately wicked. If wickedness should enter a man, I'm telling you, there's nothing a human being cannot do to another human being. Man's inhumanity to man. You will be wondering, are they human beings? But the reality is this, you know, spiritually speaking, if you understand the capacity of the human mind and the human spirit, you will know that there are so many things that can enter into a man. There are so many things that can begin to influence people to do things. People come under all sorts of influences and they will do anything. It was Satan that entered into Judas and he went to betray Jesus. There was a man Jesus found. The man was possessed and Jesus was having a conversation, not with the man, but with the spirit inside the man. And Jesus was asking, what is your name? And the spirit spoke, Legion. Legion is over 1,000, thousands of demons inside one human spirit. That's to let you see the capacity of the human mind or the human and the human spirit. So many things can enter and begin to influence. That is why you and I as believers always need to be filled with the Spirit of spirits. That's the Holy Spirit. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, no demon, no power, no principality can have any power over you. We should be the ones that principalities or demon-possessed people should fear, not the other way around as believers, that we are now the ones afraid of people with demons. You see, if you just recognize one thing, yes, as human beings we are frail, as human beings we can miss it. But quickly repent, quickly receive forgiveness, quickly receive cleansing by the blood of Jesus anytime you fall, anytime you miss it, and be filled with the Holy Spirit again. You don't have to put yourself down when you are down. You don't have to remain down. Get up, arise. The Bible says even a righteous man falls 7 times. But the Bible records that he will rise again. So anytime you fall, please rise again. Anytime you miss it, please get back to God quickly. Anytime we sin or we transgress, run back to God. Sin wants us to run away from God. But when we sin, God wants us to run to Him to receive forgiveness. So don't even allow yourself to be put down whenever you miss it. We need the Holy Spirit, brethren. We need the power of the Spirit of God over the power of the enemy. Jesus said, behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions. He says, I give you power over the power of the enemy. Let us not mince words. The enemy has demonic powers, and those demonic powers can be very, very, very ruthless. That is why we need the Holy Spirit to come against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world and wicked spirits. The Bible calls them wicked spirits in heavenly places. We are believers. Let us take our authority and use our authority. We have been given authority. At times we forget. At times we don't remember who we are. Now, look at this. 40 men decide we are going to kill him. We don't even care about the law anymore. And in a very subtle way, they decided how they will do it. They were even doing this, right, in conjunction with the chief priests and the elders, who should even know better. They came to the king, chief priests and the elders. They said, no, don't worry. We have made an oath. We've bound ourselves. We have come under an oath. We are not going to eat or drink. They went into prayer, into fasting. Dry, what is known as dry, what we call dry fasting. You think you are the only one who fasts? Demonic people fast. they do fasting. And what they were doing here is prayer, because they came to the chief priests and prayed to them. You know what? Don't worry. We have come under an oath. All you need to do is gather again. When you gather, just tell them to go and bring Paul, that you actually want to question him any, you know, further. So when you do that, as they are bringing him, we will just lay an ambush and kill him. You know, let his blood, we don't care, let his blood be on us. They can't blame you. You just say, let them just bring him. This was the oath, and this was the plan. This was the devil at work here, using men. But something in verse 11, that big bird, is what I want us to focus on, which we're going to use to wage warfare and pray and always remind ourselves. Verse 11, Acts 23, the Bible says, but the following night, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must almost also bear witness at Rome. Now, that is a divine promise. The Lord promised him, you've testified in Jerusalem. This is where they were planning to kill you and Jews want to finish you. But you know what? You are going to go to Rome and you will also testify. Now, that's a divine promise. How many of God's divine promises do we know? Or do we forget that indeed, for example, Psalm 27, it says that the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? I remembered one day, I don't know how many weeks ago it was. I think it was sometime in September. And I was just walking, and I was walking through just a pathway from one center of my college to the other center. And all of a sudden, fear just gripped me. I mean, fear. I was questioning myself, why am I afraid? Because some guys were coming behind, and they were on this, I don't know what kind of, it's not a motorbike and it's not a car, it's got four wheels, and it makes a lot of loud noise. Squad bike, is that what it is? Quad bike. I think that was what it is. And they were just reckless. And it was like something was telling me they will attack you from the back. And they were coming truly, and fear gripped me. Fear. I was ashamed of myself. Seriously. That why am I afraid? Why should I be afraid? Why? And I was, you know, kind of reminding myself, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, I began to remind myself of God's promises. They can't touch me. I'm protected. You know? And I began to walk. And I was walking. And slowly the fear lifted. The fear lifted actually very slowly. It didn't lift immediately. You know, I had to remind myself of God's promises. No evil shall befall me. No plague will come near my dwelling. Now look at this. In the night, God promises Paul that he's going to divinely protect him. Because this is clearly a promise. Be of good cheer, Paul. You've testified in Jerusalem. You will testify in Rome. And then in the morning, the Bible says, when it was day, God gives you a promise in the night, and in the day, the arrows by day start flying. It's as if this is coming to negate the promise God gave you in the night. You know, in the nighttime, we are usually lonely. When I say lonely, you're by yourself. At times when God is giving you a promise, nobody's there. It's an assurance in your heart. A peace just comes and you hear God's word and you are comforted. But then daytime comes. What do you see in the day? Trouble. The day, some of the Jews, 40 able-bodied, jobless human beings who don't have better things to do, murderous human beings, we are going into fasting. Please watch the things you fast about. Don't fast for wickedness. Do you know that's one of the things that Isaiah, God through Isaiah, was rebuking? I think Isaiah 54 or Isaiah 58. Is it Isaiah 58 that was talking about, you know, this is not the kind of fast that I, the Lord, have ordained, that you fast for wickedness. You fast to be pointing fingers at people. You know, sadly, you know, at times when you see some believers, and I say that in quote, decide to fast, they are fasting so that somebody, it will, you know, somebody else's life will come under trouble. They are fasting so that God can kill somebody. They are fasting so that maybe their CEO can be removed from office. In fact, I saw something very funny today, very, very funny. I think it was in an organization. I think it was like a teaching hospital, and maybe this woman was like the head nurse. I don't know the full story, but apparently she had given the people maybe a tough time, the people under her. So they transferred her from that place. And the staff under her were rejoicing that she had been transferred. So they actually made a banner, put a banner with her picture, and said they are celebrating the transfer of a terror, the transfer of a tormentor. And they said they are so happy, and they put all the things, you know, without, you know, like an obituary, you know, those kind of banners where they're showing somebody who died. She was just transferred. They said they are so happy. Two banners, big banners. They spent money to celebrate somebody's transfer away from where they are. You know, and of course, people were reacting to it. And there was a response somebody gave that don't mind the people who made that banner, because this woman stood for righteousness. She wouldn't let the nurses misbehave. She wouldn't let them do what they like. You know, she just enforced what was right in the organization. And they hated her for that. So as she was being transferred, they were celebrating. You know, I just cast my mind back to once upon a time when I was also in this organization, and I made up my mind. And, you know, God help you when you make up your mind that you want to stand for the truth. It's very easy to say you want to stand for the truth, but when situations, when things begin to shake you, you might be tempted to lie. I made up my mind that come what may, whatever time I get to the office, because in those days we signed, you know, technology has beaten all people's plan to lie now, where you have to swipe in. There are some offices you swipe in, and then when you swipe, it actually shows the time you got in. So you can't manipulate things. But in those days, we had one register, and everybody who came into the office signed. You sign in at the time you got to the register. And usually at times there's a queue. And the time the queue builds up is when people have actually come after the cutoff time. So there's a silent conspiracy that when you come in late, let's say the cutoff time is 8:30 a.m., just sign that you got there 8:07. so that everybody coming after 8:30, 8:35, 8:40, they just simply build on the false 8:07 you signed at 8:30. So I made up my mind, I'm not going to join that gang. Whatever time I get there, I will sign. So one day, unfortunately, I got there late. And I made up my mind, I'm a Christian. I'm going to sign the time I get there. So I got there around 8:35. 8:30 was the cutoff. So I signed 8:35. So the previous time before me was like 8:07. And I got there, I signed 8:30. The person right in front of me signed 8:07. So I signed 8:35. So the person at the back was waiting to sign 8:08. And saw that I had signed 8:35. And there's no way you can jump the queue on the register. Oh, I was called names that day. I was called names. You are heartless. You are wicked. Don't you know we have families to feed? You want us sacked? What kind of a Christian are you? Even Christians like you have been cooperating in this office. Who are you? Heartless human being. I felt sorry for myself. But I was undeterred. So I made up my mind I would be getting early. Then another time again, I got late. This time really late. So as I was going to the register, all the latecomers were running. So I deliberately walked slowly so that anybody wanted to overtake can overtake. But once I get to that register, I must sign my 8:47 time I got there. So I was walking slowly and everybody, you know, was overtaking quickly. Hey, that idiot is there. Please overtake. And unfortunately, I got there. As I was about to sign, somebody came again and just flung me. threw me away. That idiot. You sign here. No way. You're not signing before me. You know, when we stand for righteousness, people hate us. They do. And you don't know the conspiracy that people will make against somebody who wants to stand for Jesus. 40 people. They are ready to break the law. Paul must die. And you know, if it's in our day and our time, the kind of accusation that will have been going on social media about Paul. And you know, people believe everything now. Everything. People don't verify. Put a scripture about God's promises on the internet, people won't believe. But ruin somebody's life, accuse somebody, say they did that. Everybody believes without verifying. Start seeing people commenting. Paul, unfortunately, 40 people. Now, the thing I see here, because I really want us to pray and I want to round up quickly. God promised divine protection. Next morning, there's a gathering together. That reminds me of a scripture. Surely they shall gather. It's in Isaiah 55, I believe. Or is it Isaiah 54? Surely they shall. Isaiah 54, I think verse maybe 15 or thereabout. Can you give us that scripture? Isaiah 54, I think it's 15 or thereabout. Yeah, that's the scripture about fasting. You fast to lose the bonds of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens. You don't fast to kill people. You don't fast to oppress people. You don't fast to call God fire down to consume all your in-laws and outlaws. That's not fasting that God ordains. Okay. Isaiah 55. Indeed, give us the King James, good old King James Bible. You see, when I read scriptures like this, and I realize there's a conspiracy against me, rather than me getting depressed, I actually remind myself that this is actually part of God's promise. Do you know what the promise is? God is promising that they will gather against you. Let's start looking at God's promises from a balanced point of view. Surely they shall gather. They shall surely gather together. But, listen, not by me. God is always one step or many steps ahead of the devil. They will gather. I know they will gather. So, you know, if you are in a workplace and you find out there's conspiracy against you, they are fulfilling scriptures. Don't cry. Don't be depressed. Don't be scared of going to work the following day. In fact, be singing to God that you are a living witness of the scriptures. But not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against you, they shall fall for your sake. That is God's promise. One of God's promises. Now, God promised following day trouble. The conspiracy was there. But what I want us to look at here, because at times, when God allows the enemy to play into our hands, what do we do? Because at times we can be too caring. When I say too caring, you know, you just love people more than God loves them, actually. Okay. They were doing this conspiracy. And see how God, at the point at which they were making the conspiracy, Paul's nephew happened to be there. That is divine arrangement. Okay, his sister's son, he was there. He heard of the ambush. And then what's the next thing? He took action. See, when God reveals the plan of the enemy to us, please, let's take action. We can pray, but excuse me, the Bible says watch and pray. We must act. Look at the action. The guy went straight to Paul. And he told Paul, look, this is what I heard. This is what they have said. And what did Paul do? Paul prayed for them. That God, all those conspiring against me, answered them by fire. Killed them. Paul took action. What was the action? He called a centurion. Please listen to this, because reading the scriptures, amending a bit of my theology. When God allows the enemy to play into your hands, because you can be so loving and so caring, you know, let's just pray, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Well, that was the prayer of Jesus. Because Jesus was fulfilling a divine purpose at that point in time. But this was not a case of, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Paul didn't pray that prayer. What did Paul do? Let's go to verse 17. Paul called one of the centurions to him and said, look at the tactful way he did it. Take this young man to the commander, for he has something to tell him. He didn't say, ha, centurion, come. Hear what this boy just told me. Hear what he told me. Probably would have played into the hands of the centurion. That, guys, your conspiracy has leaked. And his Paul's nephew, that guy will probably be lynched. They will add him to the lynching list. He has something. Last week we talked about being wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. He has something to say. So he took him. So the centurion too took him to the commander. You know what surprised me here is that the centurion did not query this young boy. Okay, what is it you want to tell to the commander? Tell me first. Brethren, when the Lord is with you, the Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Where God will begin to use even your enemies to protect you, to serve his own divine agenda. He took him to the commander and even narrated, Paul, the prisoner, called me to him and asked to bring this young man to you. He has something to say. Now look at the commander himself. The commander said, okay, what is it? What is you want to say? Okay, say it now. Let everybody hear. He didn't call witnesses. The Bible said he took the young man aside. Divine arrangement. And the guy told the commander what he heard. And what did the commander do? Verse 22. Let's jump to verse 22. He told him, go, let the young man depart. Tell no one what you have told me. And the next thing, the commander acted and provided physical security for Paul. He provided what? Physical security. He didn't say, Paul, let's do prayer meeting. Let's call night vigil. He acted. Brethren, there's time for us to act. When we pray, as God begins to let the enemy play into our hands, let's act. Please, let's rise up tonight. I want us to pray for the next 7 minutes. I told some of us, as this scripture was going, as this study, we want to pray. Please lift up your hands and ask for infilling of the Holy Spirit right now. Just ask. The Bible says the Holy Spirit helps us to pray accurately the mind of God. There are some things we need to pray about, and the Holy Spirit will drop it in your spirit tonight. Please receive the Holy Ghost. How much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? Holy Spirit, I receive you right. We do not know. Going on behind the scene, Holy Spirit, help us to hit it on target. Help us, we pray. Help us to pray the heart and mind of God today in the name of Jesus. Right now, we receive the promises of God and we will begin to pray the promises of God and begin to act according to the promises of God. Please grab your Bible, turn to Psalm 27. Or please bring it on the screen in the name of Jesus. Please, we are going to make some declarations and then we are going to pray. The Bible says in Psalm 27, please give it, just leave it on that translation. Yes, good translation, New King James Version. Please declare right now. This is a declaration of David and then we will pray. One, two, go. Verse 1, please declare, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Verse 2. When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Verse 3. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Please lift up a prayer right now. The Lord is my light. The Lord is my salvation. I fear no evil. I fear no evil. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You are with me, O God. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. I decree in the name of Jesus, I fear no evil. I fear no evil. Please pray tonight, wherever your name is being called, wherever there's a conspiracy against you, we say in the name of Jesus, let confusion be sent to the camp of the enemy, the enemy of my soul, the enemy of my family. Please pray for divine protection right now. Divine protection over your family. Whatever the enemy is touching, your husband, your children, your home, devil, let go. We say let go. We pray and decree divine protection. Our going out is blessed. Our coming out is blessed. Our coming back. In the name of Jesus, we fear no evil. Let go. Let go. Let go of my children. Devil, let go of my finances. In the name of Jesus, let go. I decree. Please pray. Pray. If you don't know what to pray for, pray in the Holy Ghost. Libra da decree right now, surely they shall gather. Wherever there is a gathering against me, against my life, against my wife, against my children, against the body of Christ, against Love Assembly, wherever our names are being called, Father, we thank you. We are protected. We are shielded. We send confusion to the camp of the enemy. We say, Lord, expose every hidden work of darkness. Every hidden work. In the name of Jesus, God is our refuge and strength. Please pray. God is your refuge and strength. He's a very present help in the trouble. He will deliver you from trouble. He will deliver me from trouble. Whatever trouble it is, Lord, you are my very present help. I will be delivered. I am protected. Oh Lord, we take your promises. We say in the name of Jesus, we are not a people depressed. We are not a people without hope. Please pray against the spirit of depression. Pray against the spirit of depression. Right now, we come against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world. You wicked spirits in heavenly places, you principalities and powers, we resist you in the name of Jesus. We stop all your activity in our lives, in our homes, in our families, in our marriages. Please pray over your physical body. Your physical body, from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet. It is written, if the spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in your mortal body, by the same spirit your body is given life. Receive life into every organ of your body. Receive the life of God through the Spirit of God right now. Randa ba seten tere da 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 da. Lem randa kade seten tere da 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 da. Ri. Rakatu seto branda ba la ba ya gada ba ra ba ya ba. Please bring Isaiah 54. Randa kasente brende gelo borobo shinda ba ra ba la ba. Isaiah 54 from verse 11. Ri blada kaba ba ba ba. Please receive God's promises and pray. Pray into his promises. Pray into his promises. Oh, Rimba Kasante Gele Brandaba Yagada Baraba Yagada Lele Baba. Limbrandaka, no weapon that is formed or fashioned against me shall prosper. This is my heritage. I am a servant of God. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. Rimboko Soto Brandaba Laba Yagada Baba. Even though I fall, I rise again. I rise again. No weapon of formed or fashioned against me shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against me in judgment, I condemn. I condemn. I condemn right now. I say, Lord, let your light shine. Expose every hidden work of darkness. Please pray. Let God begin to expose every hidden work of darkness. Rata simbrende kebalaba. And ask God for wisdom on what to do. I receive wisdom on what to do. I receive wisdom on the physical action I need to take. I silence all my accusers. Every voice of condemnation, every accusing voice, I silence you right now. In the name of Jesus. do in the name of Jesus. I will take every corresponding action. Radete sente brinda galaba. Rakato sundu breda la labaya galaba. Oh, surely they shall gather. Ah, every gathering. They gather to scatter. Everywhere my name is mentioned. Everywhere, Radu Sol to bring a lagabo shinde galabalaba yagalabalaba. Enough is enough. We take the battle to the gates of the enemy. We are no longer playing a defensive game. We are not playing a defensive game. Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail. You take the battle to the gate. I fear no evil, no devil, no witch, no power. I declare, I fear no evil. Rabada sende branda galaba. I'm covered by the precious blood of Jesus. I'm covered by the precious blood of Jesus. The blood of sprinkling. The blood that speaks better things than that of Abel. Begin to speak better things concerning my life. Let the God that answers by fire, let him be God. Let your fire fall. Let your fire fall upon the altar of our hearts. Upon the altar of our hearts. And let your fire, even from our lips. Oh, a fire goes before you and burns up all your enemies. Father, your word like fire in my bones, in my belly, I release the fire of your word to consume every trap of the enemy. Anything the enemy may have set, they are exposed. The light of God exposes every hidden work of darkness. Every hidden work of darkness against us, against me, against my family. I say they shall not prosper. I say they shall not come to pass. It is only what you say concerning me that will happen. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, help us, help me. I receive strength in the name of Jesus. Please listen. Grab a pen, grab a paper, whatever came to you while you were praying, write them down. Some of us might be scriptures. Some of us, in a flash, it's like in a flash, an instruction came to you. Just like that. Telling you, go and do this. Go and check that place. That's where it is. Please write them down so you don't forget. Isaiah chapter 54. This is a scripture for every one of us, and especially for one or two people here tonight. It's Isaiah 54 from verse 11 to 17. It says, "Oh, you afflicted one, tossed with tempest and not comforted. Behold, I will lay your stones with colorful gems, and lay your foundations with sapphires. I will make your pinnacles of rubies, your gates of crystal, and all your walls of precious stones. All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. In righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. Indeed, they shall surely assemble, but not because of me. Whoever assembles against you shall fall for your sake. Amen. Behold, I have created the blacksmith who blows the coals in the fire, who brings forth an instrument for his work, and I have created the spoiler to destroy. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Amen. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. Amen. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. Amen. Please, right now, verse 17 says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. But the second part, every tongue which rises against you in judgment, he didn't say God will condemn. He says you shall condemn. Please lift up your voice right now and condemn. I silence every voice of condemnation. The voice telling you you can amount to nothing. That voice whispering to you and giving you mental health problems. I silence you. In the place of trouble, in the midst of this war, in the midst of everything that looks like they are not walking around, I still hear the still small voice of the Lord. I silence every voice, every toxic voice, every voice of accusation, every voice of condemnation. I condemn you in the name of Jesus. I rise by the Spirit of God. I say, I have the Spirit of love, of power, a sound mind. My mind is sound. Silence every voice that is not of God. Silence you in the name of Jesus. Silence you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we bring our families under divine protection. We bring our families under the blood of Jesus tonight. We bring our families under the covering. We stop every oppression of the devil over our husbands, over our wives, over our children, our boys, our girls, the young and the old. We receive instruction. Receive instruction on physically what action we will take. Yes, we receive instruction right now. Brethren, please, I want to covet. Please pray this prayer with every strength you can. Let's come against the spirit of suicide. Right now. Right now. Right now. Please lift up your voice. Please cry. Nobody in our midst, anyone the enemy is whispering to go hang himself, to go hang themselves. We come against you, spirit, you foul spirit of suicide. We silence your voice from now. We remove that neck from the hangman's noose. Hey, we rescue that soul. That soul. You will not die. You will live. You will declare the salvation of the Lord in the land of the living. Please, if any name comes to you, call that name right now. Somebody, a name might come to you. Call that name and say, you will not die. You will not die. You will live. You will declare the salvation of the Lord. Right now, you will hear the voice of the Lord. You will hear the voice of the Lord. You will not commit suicide. You will not kill yourself. You will live. There is more for you than against you. Father, we thank you for this great deliverance. Holy Spirit, we thank you. Holy Spirit, we receive instruction. We receive direction. We receive everything Everything you ask us to do, we will do. Be it unto us, Lord, according to your word. Be it unto us tonight, according to your word. Father, we pray for the gathering together tomorrow of the saints in Manchester. We ask for fresh fire to fall upon our hearts, upon our families, individuals, collectively, upon our churches, upon our nation, upon our cities. Let your fire fall. And let the whole world know that you are the God who answers by fire. For the God who answers by fire, let him be God. You are God. We declare you our God. You are clothed in light. And Lord, you are a consuming fire. A fire goes before you, burns up all your enemies. Father, let your fire go before us as we go right now and consume every power, every plan of the enemy. We decree they are exposed and consumed tonight in the name of Jesus. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for giving us fresh instructions. Empower us to do everything you ask us to do right now. Without any fear or favor. Thank you, Lord. Please, let's just give God thanks for, let's just thank him. You will see. You will stand and you will see the salvation of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, to you be all the glory.